Welcome to the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast. Hi, my name is Jill McCarthy from Central New York State.
And this is our 56th podcast. Welcome, ladies. This morning I have a guest named Sandy Stream, and we've got something unique in mind for you today. Let me read her bio and then we'll get started. Sandy Stream is an author and activist whose work is built on the belief that everyone deserves and is capable of finding peace and warrior-like strength within themselves. After teaching law for 20 years, raising her two children, and facing a life full of adversities and lessons, she decided to turn her efforts towards facilitating workshops for young and experienced adults to encourage them to live in peace and in power. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, Jill. Nice to see you again.
Yes. When people say again, it's because we spend a little pre-podcast time to get to know each other. That helps me to get centered and to know who my guest is and kind of give us some ideas what to play with for this session. And Sandy Stream has written this book called The Courage Circle, and I really like that circle as the guy goes up and around, and it kind of has a little dimensions to it as it goes around. And we're going to talk to Sandy just a couple of minutes here, and then we're going to do a little practice something with you. So tell us, where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, the idea came from struggling, I guess. I was really having a hard time for several years, just in my relationship and myself during COVID. And I just spent a lot of time with myself, listening to anything I could listen to. Lots of crying, lots of writing, lots of everything. And what ended up happening is that I would take notes on all different topics that I was touching upon. And I guess I have good organization skills or something. So I kind of was organizing how to live into different topics. And it's not one thing. It's not like, okay, sit 10 minutes a day, meditate, you're going to feel fine. It didn't really work like that for me. It was many pieces of a puzzle. And finally, when I felt things have come together, I decided to put them in a book with many small chapters where we read and hopefully reflect on each topic. And hopefully some of the pieces of my puzzle are some of the pieces of other people's puzzle. And there seems to be, anyways, at least for me, a way to live where you feel okay, really, regardless of what's going on. Like it's a way of living. It just works. Yeah.
Quite a jump from teaching law to writing a book and going this route, isn't it?
I guess so, yeah. But that's what felt right to do. So that's the route I'm in.
Yeah. And I liked when we were talking last time, and then I went back to read some more, and I could really see how it is separate little pieces. There's a flow to it. It's a book that you could put your thumb in anywhere and open up, and it might be just what you need that day. And it also means you don't have to have an hour to sit down and read. You could just open a couple of pages and just kind of think on them and let, you know, where does that fit in my life? Oh, that kind of sounds like when, and just let it help you grow and come to peace about a particular thing.
Yeah. And then, so once I published the book, I felt, you know, these are topics, all these little bits and pieces in the book that I really feel are not discussed so much in groups. I wish I had a group to discuss it with. So I started a circle myself. We call it the Courage Circle. We meet every week in Montreal and we discuss a different topic every single week. And it's quite fascinating to do and to learn from.
I bet you there's a lot of bonding that goes on in that group, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of honesty and openness, actually. Surprisingly, how quickly people are capable to open in the right environment. And so we were saying, Jill, maybe we would pretend we were in a circle today. I don't know if you're up for it. Do you want to?
Oh, I love that idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, that's close to my heart. So we're going to switch roles here a little and let Sandy be in charge for a bit. And I'm going to be in her circle, or we're in the circle together. And Sandy, go for it, whatever you'd like to say.
Okay,
and
great.
Audience, join in this circle with me. Come on, we can do this.
Oh,
love
wonderful.
To see your comments.
All right. So first, we're imagining we're sitting in Montreal in a beautiful yoga studio. We're in a circle. We're like 20 people, but in this case, it's just me and you, Jill. And first, I introduce myself to everyone, and I do it with a title. So I ask everyone, let's introduce ourselves with our title. Like everyone always asks us, what do you do and who are you? So I start very official and I say, yes, I'm a lawyer from a prestigious law school and I have a kid 22 and 15. And so now every person goes around and does that. So Jill, you can say your official title.
My official title is I'm a retired teacher. I'm a mom to four grown sons. The oldest is 43 and the youngest is 37. So my guys have been at it for quite a while.
Nice. So after we do that and we imagine, you know, we've had 19 other introductions. I'm a software engineer. I'm a this, I'm a that. Then we take a moment to drop all these titles. So we try to let go a little bit of this title of our degrees, our work, even our kids, our dogs, our cats. Just for the 1 hour that we're together, we just try to deal with each other from a more, like a deeper place. You know, you can call it your heart, your humanity, your soul, your spirit, whatever you want. So just for that hour, or at least together, me and you, Jill, for this time that we're together, we can kind of just forget all these titles and just talk to each other as human beings. So we do that. And with that exhale, after that, we say hi to each other with our eyes. So we greet each other. Everybody takes a few minutes, but me and you can say hi to each other like this. And then we do a quick listening practice before we get to the new topic. So I'll do the quick listening practice with you. And what that is that I ask somebody to just share something in the group, like anything, just so I can do a demo of what is listening. You know, before we get to our discussion topic of the week, we should discuss like what is listening anyway, right? Jill, if you're comfortable to just share anything in your life, whatever you're comfortable to say, I'll do a quick demo.
I'm going to share that I'm kind of excited and nervous about having a photo shoot this Friday. That's something new in my life, and I'm kind of going through an upgrade, and as exciting as it is, it's also a little bit nervous, so that's where I am.
Thanks, Jill. So with that demo, I'll describe three different types of listening. So the first type of listening that I've encountered a lot in my life, I don't know if we even want to call that listening. It's more, you know, dismissive or gaslighting, those kind of words. If you imagine as human beings, we're like human mirrors, right? So the person who's doing dismissive behavior, gaslighting, instead of holding up like a clean mirror to you, Jill, they literally put it down as if what you just shared does not even exist. So that would be something like, oh, really? You're doing a photo shoot? I've done like many of those. You know, I really like to do those, right? That totally missed, like there's a reality miss, right? So gaslighting is actually pretty dangerous over time to our well-being because it's as if like reality doesn't exist almost. Like I just said something, but I'm not getting like, there's like a weird non-reflection there, right? Or you don't exist or like something weird in that response. So that's not obviously listening. Second type of listening, again, if we imagine ourselves as a human mirror, so the person lifts the mirror, like they kind of see what you said. But this second type of listening, which we can call fixing listening, they put down the mirror really quickly. They saw it. I see what you said, Jill, but I'm going to put it down really quickly and I want to fix what you said. Okay. I don't like what you said, or something's bothering me about your experience, or maybe I'm not comfortable with feelings, or I want to give you advice or something, right? But it's very fixing. So that one would sounds like, oh, Jill, you're doing a photo shoot. I know exactly what you need to do. Like 10 minutes before you go, just go. You wash your hands with cold water, put it on your face. It'll calm you down, breathe, whatever. And that's it. You're going to be fine. Right? So this kind of listening, again, it gives you a feeling that something is wrong with you or with what you said or with what you feel. It's underlying it, but there's like this little message of that. And if there's quick advice given that's not solicited, it also gives the message that I'm better than you. I know what you should do, Jill. Like, I know how you should run your life. And so this message is also sometimes hidden in. Not that we never give advice and guidance or whatever, but it's, you know, with what feeling to do it, right? So that's not ideal listening. And then the third type of listening would be just a pure reflection, like a clean mirror where I reflect clearly what you said. So that would sound something like this. So it sounds like you're really excited about some changes that are coming up. And one of the things you need to do as part of these changes is to this kind of, I don't know if it's a makeover or some kind of spa day or who knows what. And that's kind of new and a little bit scary because, I don't know, maybe you feel like it's not something you've done before and you're just entering a new world. And it's always a little bit scary to do something new and different. And where's that going? So it's mixed excitement and maybe trepidation or fear or some kind. Is that right?
Spot on.
Yeah. So I don't have to get it right, right? When we listen, we can ask like, is that right? Or did I get it right or not? And if I didn't, it's okay. The person will say, actually, I'm not scared. I'm just a little nervous, or I'm not this. I'm, you know, but when we listen this way, people open.
Today's episode is being sponsored by Turtlefly Creations, a place for introverted metamorphosis, and it expresses itself through many modalities. We are the umbrella company for the Geeky Grandma with an Encouraging Nudge podcast, the Empowering Women Facebook group, and the Heart's Desires Retreats. We are a service that encourages, inspires, and empowers women from around the world. And now, back to the show.
And they feel comfortable and they feel respected and they share. And so I always start the circle with this description, just to be aware of the different types of listening that we do in the group. Not that we're strict, like everyone could talk and everyone talks freely and openly, but just kind of to realize these different possible listening.
So if you know it's going to be reflected back in a thoughtful way, then you're more willing to take the chance to be open and let what you're really feeling come out.
Yeah, to let your truth, right? To let the truth be in the room, right? Yeah, and I agree with you. It's not so much about being nice. It's just to be true, to be honest. And it's really important, I think, in terms of feeling well, to always focus on what's true, not so much as anything else. What's true? The truth is, I feel nervous. I have a makeover Friday. That's the truth. And maybe you'll do something about it. Maybe you won't. But first, the truth. The truth is that's what you feel. So now that we've done our little listening practice in the group, so we're a bunch of people, but today it's me and you, Jill. We'll get to our new topic. And the topic that we'll do in this little circle of me and you today is called No is Equal to Self-Love. So to get our topic started, I'll just read a little section from the book called No is Self-Love. And then what we usually do in the group after I read the section is we just discuss it. People give their own opinions, their own thoughts. It's not that I am the, you know, the teacher know-it-all. It's just my experience and everybody else shares theirs. And that's how we learn from each other. So I'm going to read a little section called No is Equal to Self-Love. One day, as I was waiting for my daughter to finish a class, I came upon a mother yelling at her daughter, who was about 13 or 14 years age. The girl was sitting on a bench in some kind of prom dress with her head down. Clearly, she was distraught. The mother kept insulting her. "You're an idiot," she said, along with many other put-downs. I wasn't sure what to do. The mother's anger was high, and the girl's head was low. Her posture was heartbreaking, and so I made a choice. The mother walked away for a brief moment as I was passing the girl on the bench, and I looked at her and I softly whispered, "You are not an idiot." I know that as children, it's hard to set and express boundaries, especially those involving our parents. So it would have been very scary and difficult for this teenager to stand up to her mother. But as we get older, we can slowly learn to express our boundaries and move towards what feels right for us. Saying no is equal to self-love. No, I am not an idiot. No, I'm not ugly. No, I can't do that. I'm resting tonight. No, you can't treat me or insult me like that. No, I'm going to choose what I want to do. Dye my hair, speak up, take that job. When you say no, when it's true to you, you build self-confidence slowly but surely. There's a difference between an inflated ego and self-confidence in who you truly are. And healthy self-confidence is calm and relaxed. It's when you are self-assured and not trying to prove anything to anyone or be superior to anyone. And if you're still dealing with that inner critic, realize that it's not you or yours. Who spoke to you that way in the past? Who put the critic in your head? question it, and stand up to it. The more you do this, the better you will get at it, and soon your inner protector will get stronger than your inner police or your inner critic that keeps you in line and controlled and fitting in. And you will start to care for yourself as a mother bear protects her cubs. So that's my little section. And now we take the time in our little circle, Jill, to go around and each person to discuss their own experience, and we can go with the flow from there.
I talk a lot about self-worth and self-esteem in my group. And although your little story there was about learning to say no, the picture that came to my head is when I'm in the city, and the cities aren't huge around here, but a city place where there's maybe like a string of 5 or 6 lights in a row. And there's some days that all of a sudden all of the lights are green. And you know you can just keep going, and if you go at a good speed that you're going to get them all. And I think about, you know, sometimes we have to say no to other people, and a lot of women get that in theory, but in practice it's hard. And I guess I'm going to flip it to maybe not so much to say no to everybody else, but to be able to say yes to me. And I think that's, and my head's stuck on the photo shoot here, but this has been an opportunity to say lots of yeses to me. And I knew it was right to do so. I went out after I got all the dates and the appointments set up. I went out and got a new outfit and even bought a new purse, because I'd only had purses that everybody gave me for gifts. And this time I could buy a real one for me. And tonight I'm going to get a mani-pedi, and I went to get a new haircut, and I'm going to get my makeup done over. And, you know, I kind of took it almost to the extreme, because I knew I could. Yeah. And I know that being ready for whatever is next is I'm going to have to be that little bit next level of me. Not that I'm not a cool person in the first place, but I knew I had to be open to new opportunities and that I was willing and ready for them. Mm. And so that's my interpretation.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense to me. I guess I also can see how almost any time you would say no to something, you're not really against the other person. It's really not about the other person. It often is a yes to us, right? So if you say, no, I can't come for dinner tonight, it's yes, I need to rest, right? It's something that comes from taking care of yourself. All the no's really come from, in my view, I share with you, is a yes to you in one way or another. And so when we start to express our no that way, as opposed to being against another person or against another idea, it's really what we are for, including ourselves. I think it's very powerful. And it often will get taken a little bit better by the other person, but often it won't. You know, we're raised in cultures where taking care of ourselves is sometimes taught as it's something selfish. And I don't mean just taking ourselves, you know, physically, emotionally, in any way, right? It's considered selfish. And so we have that thought like constantly in our head, like, oh, I should go because whatever. It's like all this guilt from who knows where. But at the end of the day, the question to ask is, if you say yes to the other person and no to yourself, right? So in a way, that means you're against yourself. And to me, when we are against ourselves, we're in big trouble, you know, physically, health-wise, emotionally, just to be against ourselves. It's not only not healthy, it's not responsible. It's our responsibility to take care of ourselves.
We've spent so much time thinking about it from the other person's point of view that we've lost ours in the meantime.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really surprising, at least it surprised me, how much, you know, paying attention to what I need to do to feel okay, basically, right? Might mean saying some no's. It might mean, you know, another 100 type of things that I feel I need to do in my life in order to feel well. It's surprising how taking these moves, which others might consider self whatever, actually ends up leading to a human being who feels well and now is able to actually do things for others because their cup is full. We should not be pouring out when we have a 2% cup, right? That's not responsible. And so continuing with this topic, Jill, like I get how saying yes to you is getting very comfortable, but do you have memories also of where saying no has been very difficult?
Well, yeah, I have memories that if I took me a long time to reclaim my voice, and sometimes I said no to me by not even mentioning what I wanted to do. And it wasn't even that someone else was against me. I never gave them a chance because I never had the courage to speak up about it. And now I can. And I find out, whoa, that went pretty smooth. How come? You know, and it was because that's what people do. They speak up about what's important. Maybe sometimes they'll do it and sometimes they won't, but at least they put it out on the table so it can be seen and heard.
Yeah, so you're saying even your silence was a no to yourself. And so learning to see that I'm going to put what I want even in the world, let alone, you know, go for it yet. We're not even there yet. It's just that it matters enough to be there, you know? That's a big move for sure. You know, and there's also a lot of what I've seen and experienced myself and seen in others, like we have a lot of fear of conflict or confrontation because we think conflict is necessarily going to be negative instead of seeing it as a necessary part of growing and growing up and getting to healthier relationships, right? And conflict does not have to be ugly and aggressive at all. It's just two different views in the moment, and it's possible to lead to understanding in those different views or different experiences.
I was in a women's circle one time, and a lot of the people there were having trouble with confrontation type things. And what I found is if somebody was going to say something to me that might be hard to hear or a little bit hurtful, I found it really helped me if they just said, "This might be a little tender to hear. Are you ready?" And just getting braced a little bit, not like terrified, but just okay, just that little bit of warning helped me to listen to what they said without becoming instantly defensive. And I really found, I mean, I stumbled on it by accident in that group, but then I found that's a good thing. And sometimes I found like when I might do it to say like to you, like this might be tender, Sandy, or are you okay with me sharing it? That wasn't a big deal. You know, that didn't hurt my feelings, but thank you for sharing. And it might be where the fear is inside of me, not necessarily the object or even with the other person. And that was a big life lesson for me.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah. I think I try to do that. I never do anything, you know, perfectly well, nor do I expect myself to do that. But I can see how sometimes saying, you know, I'm upset about something. Can I tell you how I feel? And then if they say yes, they're a little more open to hearing it. And in terms of hurting another person, that's a tough one, right? Because, I mean, first of all, obviously, if you express yourself just accusing and blaming and being mean, that's going to hurt. But if you express yourself with just saying what you feel, it's less likely, right? Or I feel, you know, a bit overwhelmed right now and I don't want to hear about your issues, let's say, right?
That's less. My answer is saying, hey, let's put this off and we'll discuss it on the weekend, or tonight I'm really tired, can we do it in the morning? Or you know, and that way, you know, sure, you can't keep putting it off forever, but sometimes you've just taken something else really big in and you can't handle anymore, especially if it's in that iffy zone. And that's all right to say. That's life.
And sometimes, you know, the other person might get hurt, and to me, that's something I've learned, that, well, that's not just because someone is going to be hurt, it doesn't mean I'm not going to choose to take the action that I need to take, right? Because otherwise, if every time somebody gets bothered, we can't do anything, that means we're under full control of everybody's whatever. Okay. Oh, if I say this, they'll get mad. If I say this, they'll get hurt. If I say this, they'll get whatever. So it's not that I don't care what other people feel or might feel from what I do, but it's not like the only consideration or it's not the final consideration, right? Because you still need to make the choice. So, you know, there's been a situation not so long ago where I said, you know, I really don't want to hear on this topic anymore. Someone was trying to give me advice that I didn't want to hear about. And I said, I really don't want to hear from this anymore. And it wasn't until tomorrow, Jill. It was at all. Yeah. And they did not take it great, not terrible, but didn't love it. And I explained why, and that's it.
And so that's an incredibly mature response. Yeah.
And sometimes other people might take it personally or take it to make it about them, but it's not about them. You're trying to say, you know, what you need or what you're feeling, what your limits are, and it's not necessarily about them. And we can try to describe that, say, look, it has nothing to do with you. It's just right now, this is what I feel I need or what I'm going through. Or we cannot always be responsible for other people's reactions.
Are you a tender-hearted, gentle woman? Maybe you're an introvert, an HSP, or a projector. Perhaps you're an empath and you're sensitive to the energy wherever you go, and you wish you knew how to navigate this world in a safer way for yourself. Well, I'd love to hear your story and to let you know that you can be seen and heard and that you have value. We could do that if you reach out to me for a coffee chat. You could send me a message through Jill McCarthy through Messenger or through my email address, mmccar1@twcny.rr.com. But for now, let's go back to the conclusion of our show. One thing I kind of want to throw out there for my listeners is so many of us had been people pleasers, maybe perfectionists. And what I've recently learned is that people pleasing is actually a part of a trauma response. It's what they call fawning, and where you're trying to accommodate everything else. And it's really a leftover that's still in your body and your system that needs to be resolved and worked through. And as I spent a lot of work, that's a realization that just has come to mind. And when I hear women doing it, some people will say, oh, I wish I could get over this, or I can't do it. There may be a reason why you can't let it go yet, and that there are people out there that can help you with that. And
Yeah, there's a time and place for each person also. I mean, that's been a very tough lesson for me to learn. Almost anything in the book that I wrote about, I've done the opposite, obviously, right? Otherwise, why would it have been a learning? But that was a really tough one for me to, you know, realize that, you know, everyone has their time when they're ready to deal with certain topics. So even though sometimes I'm like, can you see her? It's like, I see this so obvious. Come on. But it's not my place. And if they're not ready to delve in or to heal something or to look at it, maybe they're just not ready. Maybe they're not, you know, sometimes it takes a lot of resources to deal with something, or maybe they don't have the support or the head for it right now. And c'est la vie. We can't, you have to let that. But it doesn't mean we don't set boundaries though, right? If someone is continuing unhealthy behavior and they don't want to look at it, it's not the time for them, that's fine, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to keep participating in the relation during those behaviors, for example, right? So you can be kind and understanding and realize whatever and understand the other person's reality, but it doesn't mean we have to keep allowing or accepting things towards us, right? That's part of our, or participating in it. Yeah, I mean, it's quite interesting. It's not just women, how women and men, you know, how we've been really often under the impression that we must be liked by other people or some end of the world will happen. And in fact, it's probably the opposite, right? If you just operate, you know, I'm going to do this to be like this, to be like, you're actually never yourself and you're never going to feel okay because you're not really you, right? You're always a different piece of fake for a different circumstance. But it's hard. I think it's hard to learn to really love and accept yourself completely to the point where other people, their view does not really count as it used to, right? It's a hard thing to get to, I think.
As you come to that place,
It's a very solid feeling inside that you do know what works for you. You do know what doesn't. Doesn't mean you can't learn or a new relationship might bring out a new piece of you, but just to know who you are. I could kind of flash back to some elementary scenes and not when I was a teacher. You know, how badly we feel if somebody didn't like us. And yeah, they may not even know we existed. And we have to exist. We have to be who we are and let it out. In the place was safe, yeah. But as you learn that, I'm speaking as a late bloomer here.
I am too, Jill, definitely. And maybe that's how life operates, you know, that it's part of the learning to arrive. I don't know if that's how it is to be. But I don't think the current, you know, parenting that I, you know, part of which I've done, but and part of which I've learned or seen is the healthiest way to raise kids, to always try to form them into something instead of allowing them to grow more naturally, you know. So they can undo the damage later and still be themselves, yeah, but it's a tougher road.
Yeah, I try to foster their uniqueness. And as my kids have grown, my oldest one is very mechanical, and the second one is very technical and musical. And then we've got the creative kid, and then we have the well-organized executive. But what I really liked is, you know, one would have trouble with his car, and he'd go to his brother to fix it. And one needed help with his internet, so he called his brother to fix it. And so, you know, it wasn't a competition. They knew they each had a strength, and to respect that and to lean on it when appropriate. So,
oh, it sounds like you did a good job, Jill. Because, I mean, most of the time, you know, what I see is that there's some kind of weird point system going on in our society where you get certain points for doing this versus that. This degree versus that degree, this action versus that, which really, I don't know why we all fall for it, because it doesn't make sense, right? Like, how many points do you get if, let's say, you were depressed, but you managed to get up and take a shower today? Like, do we get points for that? Or if I say hi to my neighbor today, do I get points? Like, how does this point system work anyway? So it's nonsense. Yeah.
To be honest, if you were depressed and you got up and take a shower, that's a huge deal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And where's the points for, like, you know, there's no points. So I don't really go with that whole point system whatsoever. You know, every person is living a very different life. And internally, we're all equal. You know, we might do different things, different actions, different degrees, but internally, there is an equality there that I feel anyways. I feel it. So it doesn't mean all behaviors are the same. So if we separate the person from behaviors, right? So yes, I don't agree with many behaviors. Actually, I'm pretty tough actually on certain things, I think, but you can be very strong on certain behaviors, but very soft on the person, on the internal, you know, like, I really disagree with this behavior. Maybe I never want to speak again because you keep doing this behavior, but I'm not against you inside. You know, there's a softness that can remain, understanding that maybe, you know, they learned to behave this way for whatever reason.
It was, you probably, know, yeah.
There's probably a very
survival skill.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. If we spent any time with any human being, you know, like, spend 6 months with anyone deeply, and you'll understand everything. Right. But we don't have the time to do that. So we can just assume. Just assume there's something going on behind every situation.
Very good. Yeah. Is there any special way you close out your meetings, or?
Well, we usually do. We go around. So every person actually gives their take on, you know, this topic. So we would have probably heard another 30 different, 25 different sharings that, you know, would be very different from you and I, Jill. We would learn from it. And then once we're done, sometimes we do a little meditation at the end, just like to listen to something or to breathe together. And then I usually invite everyone to follow one of the participants who has created a rectangle. And what I mean by that is, after the circle, the courage circle where we meet, he kind of leads everyone to the nearby restaurant, and they have a big rectangle table, and they meet and hang out and whatever else, which is very cool, because I feel that now it's people are now relating in this way. So it's all different ages, races, issues, genders, everything, but they are used to in the circle, relating with each other in a direct, honest, and healthy listening way. So I like imagine sitting at the table with people who are relating this way. It's magical and it is possible. I see it every single week. And so I think it's possible in our world because I see it every single week. Yeah.
Women need other women. And I think this circle is a terrific idea.
Yeah. Oh, so sorry, Jill, did I mention at least half my circle is men? Surprisingly.
Well,
yeah. Yes.
Well, that's good for you. Everybody has a little bit of
different. Yeah, but I'm just saying it's possible for, you know, men are also, you know, have been denied in many ways the opportunity to speak openly and honestly about their feelings and their experiences. So it's interesting that it's possible, you know, with everyone. Yeah.
This has been a wonderful episode, and I hope our listeners can feel the gentle nature between the two of us. And just, you know, we picked a random topic on a random day, and it created its own little scenario. And thank you for being such a good listener, and thank you to my listeners out there. So,
and thank you, Jill. I wish you a wonderful photo shoot upcoming, and whatever comes from there, I think it's going to be awesome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care.
See you in the funny papers. Bye-bye for now.